It's the big show, yes. I hope you didn't hear any of the stuff that's gone on before. We're here to discuss the week in technology. Yeah, but you know we're going to get talked over by Kelly the whole way through anyway. Joining me to discuss the week in tech, what a fantastic bunch. First person, out of the blocks, Charlotta.
Hello.
Where the bloody hell have you been, woman?
I'm going to be reunited with you all.
Are you going to be what?
It's nice to be reunited with you all.
Reunited, thank you. I thought you were going to say something about being knighted then.
I mean, you could obviously be knighted for services for tech. That would be nice.
Oh, you could put me forward for a gong.
I reckon we should all, like, do it.
Yeah.
Arise, Sir Ewan.
Sir Ewan Rankin, head of a Queen's Award for Export. That'll do me. I don't need anything grand.
Modesty, that's what I've always liked
about. My grandmother got an MBE. So there's the bar's been set. How you been and where have you been?
I've been good. I've been busy causing trouble, but no, everything's good. How are you guys?
Well, I'm fine. I'm all right. I'm happy.
Good. How's life in sunny Birmingham?
It wasn't sunny today. It pissed down, but I was stuck inside, so it didn't really matter. Next to her, it's Jeffrey.
How's it going? Actually, I know how it's going because I've been here for like the last 15 minutes. I know exactly how it's going.
You know too much how it's going.
You've changed offices again.
No, it's this.
Were you in a different office?
The last time I had gone to a different office to record for the day because they were doing work on my internet line here. So yeah. Now I'm back in my place, so my office.
Excellent. Good to have you back, sir. Beneath him, it's I was going to call them pigtails, but they're not pigtails, are they?
Yeah.
They're pigtails. It's Pigtail Kelly. I would reach 8,000 miles and give them a tug if I physically could. That's going to come out all wrong if you've only just joined the podcast. But Charlotte, saw your frigging camera.
Isn't it something?
Charlotte's camera's gone again. What you been up to, woman?
You know, little of this, little of that. Battening down hatches. We're supposed to have part of the massive storm that's rolling through California right now is also rolling through Oregon. And so I'm supposed to get 60 mile an hour wind this afternoon. That's going to be fun. Wait, not fun. The other thing.
We were supposed to get an absolute shitstorm the night before last, and I could hardly hear it. I was awake at like 3 a.m. and it wasn't blowing a hoolie or anything like that.
So that's good.
They're all fake storms. The world is full of fake storms at the moment, it would seem. And last but by no means least, our man, our correspondent in Norwich, the furthest east you can go. Right, you boy.
No, that's Yarmouth.
Okay, but Yarmouth's closed this time of year, isn't it?
It's a dump. Sorry, Yarmouth. Hello, mate.
What's the name of the star? That's the one to go to. I had one of my greatest experiences in the star, not the star, it's the ship something next to it, it's the pub. The strippers in there. I did a job in Yarmouth, right? And the star was closed effectively. The bar was open, but there was no one in there. So I went to the ship something or other next door, which was a pub. It was closed for refurbishment, but the function room around the back was open. So I went around the function room and I climbed up the stairs and I went in and there was about two dozen people in there. It was a bit more lively. So I thought, oh, this is great. So I ordered a pint of Guinness and I'm stood drinking my pint of Guinness, talking to the barmaid, and she says, you here for the rigs? And I'm like, no, I'm here doing some filming for the rigs. And she's like, oh, okay, fine. And we just got chit-chatting. She said, hang on a second. She turns around and presses play on the cassette deck and the music changes. And then she comes back to talk to me and a girl comes out of the toilet. Two blokes put a cover over the pool table, stop playing and put the cover over the pool table. She jumps on top of the pool table, takes her clothes off, and then goes back in the toilet, and the two blokes take the cover off the pool table, carry on playing pool. And it was the most surreal thing I've ever seen in my entire life.
No, it's very normal, very normal.
It's the ship something. I need to find that out. It's next to the Star Hotel.
Sorry, I'm going to have to stop you.
Why?
What's a tape deck?
What's a tape deck? Yeah, thanks, mate.
That's the only bit of the story I didn't get.
Shit, I'm old. The Week in Tech, as discussed by you four, who's going to start us off? It's got to be a lady first.
Go on, Kelly G.
Go, Kelly G. You haven't let off for a while, actually. Go on then, mate. Start us off.
Okay.
What's your story?
I found this one that I thought was sort of interesting, if I can get the link to come back. There's been an upgrade to the Chromecast called Guest Mode, and it makes it so that anyone that wants to can hook up to your television. So you don't have to worry about, you know, Wi-Fi networks and all that kind of nonsense. So, and because people are, because content providers are continuing to make it so that you can use a Chromecast to do other stuff, now there's a, all you have to do is have a device nearby. It's something that they're working on, and it's going to make it easier if you are at someone's house, if you're at a place where you maybe don't live or don't have the Wi-Fi password for, you can still bounce stuff up to Chromecast. So, you know, if you've got HBO Go, maybe your friend doesn't, you're at your friend's house, you can still cast over to the television and watch Game of Thrones on the big TV. And
so this is kind of like AirPlay. Pretty cool. This is kind of like AirPlay, yeah? Right.
Yeah. So, but it's guest mode, which is sort of nice. And I like that. I like that they're making it easier for people to do stuff like this. So I think that that's very cool. And it's one of the things that is eventually going to set Chromecast apart, because I don't think that's something the Fire Stick will do. And you still, I believe, in order to AirPlay still, even with the latest version of the Apple TV operating system, I think you still end up having to be on the same Wi-Fi network. So.
See, there's an interesting discussion that goes around all of these kind of devices is A, which one of them is actually dominating the market? Because I'm not sure in my own mind whether any of them are. And that is boxes and sticks. And then the other question I've got in my mind is, what's stopping one from dominating the market?
Right now, it's the fracture of the market, because you can't put iTunes content on anything that's not from Apple. You can't put Amazon content on anything that's not from Amazon. And so that's like the only thing that makes the Chromecast sort of interesting is the fact that it's a little bit more agnostic, because for right now, Google doesn't have its own service like that. So, you know, in a very particular way. So it makes it a lot easier to be the one to use. Like if there was an easy way to get Amazon Prime on the Apple TV, then the Apple TV would dominate. If it was easy to get iTunes content onto the Fire TV, then the Fire TV would dominate. So there's a bunch of, you know, there's the hurdle of all of that. And so that's why when I recommended this as a gift idea, I don't recommend it unless you have a good idea of what the ecosystem is at the, you know, of the life of the person that you're buying it for. So, you know, if you know somebody who's diehard Amazon, then the Fire TV or the Fire TV stick is a good choice. And if they're a total Apple person and you know they buy stuff on iTunes all the time, then the Apple TV makes complete sense. But if you don't know, you don't want to sort of stick them with something that they can't use effectively.
See, I think there's an interesting point here. And this came out of the London Mac User Group we went to on Monday night. That we were talking in general terms about the Apple TV, and someone just said, yeah, but the thing that's killing the Apple TV is they have no BBC iPlayer. They've got to get BBC iPlayer on there, then it would kill it. And I think that's a quintessentially British issue. But if we substituted iPlayer for BBC America with an iPlayer-esque functionality and it cost you $10 a month, I think there's a lot of Americans would be in a heartbeat. They wouldn't be bothered about $10.
I'd pay the crap out of that.
Exactly.
So fast.
Right. But here's the interesting thing, because we said that on Monday and everyone agreed that iPlayer would be a game changer in the market. And yet, lo and behold, iPlayer is already on the Amazon box, I think. I haven't started my Amazon box yet. It's been sat in a box for 3 months. and the other 2 months. And the other one is that the EETV was upgraded today, and you can now get iPlayer, BBC Sport, and the other free-to-air channels on it. Which I think is an absolute killer blow, considering the fact that the EETV is shit, though, before it even started. But that's the only thing that we carry it over. Go on, Roy.
So what is the thing that's stopping? Because I know there was kind of controversy in the Xbox 360 days. You could only get kind of iPlayer if you were a gold subscriber, and then it went away that you could get it if you were a free subscriber. My cool thing for tonight has got iPlayer on it. It's on Netflix. You get Netflix. My fridge could have Netflix. you know, it's on everything. Yeah. And iPlayer is on everything. And like Roku and all that sort of stuff. What is stopping Apple just adding? Because obviously we had an update really recently for Apple TV. What is stopping them just adding an iPlayer? Because it's open API and, you know, are they doing it just to be an arse or are they just...
No, it's an open API, but it's not an open license, is it?
Yeah,
it's, no, but it's not license. If Apple went to BBC, is it would like iPlayer on the Apple TV? BBC aren't going to turn around and go, well, no, we don't fancy it, because they want it on every platform, don't they? Yeah, it's just, no, it is the one device that just doesn't have it.
They want some coin.
Every other device has it.
No, they want some coin for it as
well. They want something Apple isn't willing to give up, is my guess. So it's either going to, the licensing is going to cost too much money, or BBC wants personal information from users that Apple isn't willing to give up. There's something there where Apple would love to have it, but they just can't seem to come to a deal with BBC. That's my guess.
I mean, here's a completely radical thought. What if Apple, the sticking point with iPlayer is that the BBC want to give it away and Apple want to charge for it?
Ooh, well,
because I think certainly in America that's got to be the case. But in the UK, I think they're going to say, oh, look, we'll give you this free of charge. Apple are going, no, you're taking up a spot on our home screen, therefore you have to pay for your plot, if you like. And BBC are going, no, we're not paying for our pot because we're not going to charge for it. Yeah, you have to charge for it, otherwise we can't. Because that's what all the, you know, like the Bloombergs and all those kind of channels, they're getting their cut because they're extra charged for some of them stuff.
Well, you are right, because if you and I did it as a test a while ago, if you go to any BBC website in the UK, you get no ads, obviously, because it's the BBC, you're in the UK, you get no ads. But if you VPN into the US and then go to BBC website, it's full of ads.
Yeah.
So it's obviously a different licensing model there, because BBC, you know, it's the same website we get over here, but there are ads everywhere.
Yeah, well, they can't charge for UK content because it's against their charter.
Mm.
So that answers that, but they can charge for content everywhere else.
But, you know, I didn't want to go to Apple because this is not the Mac show, but obviously it's been a long time with the Apple TV, hasn't it? It's been a long time coming, you know, any sort of update or anything like that. And these other the sticks and the Chromecast, and, you know, I've got a Chromecast, and it's just an amazing little device, and it has left that behind. And I think even if they've got to come with an amazing update to make people walk away from the sticks and the Fire TV and that sort of thing, because they've waited far too long.
I think there's another thing as well, is that there's an old world model still applying to some of this, because I love Ripper Street, and yesterday evening, Sharon and Ellis like watching Atlantis, and I don't watch that. So I came in here and I started catching up on Ripper Street on Amazon Prime Video, and I sat and looked at it and I'm like, there's only five episodes up. They can't have made a five-episode series. And then I realised they're releasing it weekly.
I heard that. Yeah, it's not the Netflix model, is it?
Are you trying to sell soap powder here? You've got to have learnt something from the Netflix model. You release it all at once. And I wondered whether, because now looking back, whether the Halle Berry thing that she did, whether that was released weekly, because it's just... Oh, for Christ's sake, Netflix have set the field on that, and it's too good to go back to this rubbish of weekly.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Charlotte, will you sort your frigging camera out, woman? It's going on like a frigging Pelican Crossing.
But Netflix has set the model. You know, we're on every device, and we make our own content, and we send it out all in one go, and you can binge watch it. That is the model, because that's what we want. We want to watch. You know, that great thing about Netflix is you watch an episode and then it's going 5 seconds, we're going to play another episode. And you go, yeah, I'll watch that. And then you probably fall asleep and you've done 10 episodes anyway. But I think that is the way that people want to watch TV. They want to binge watch it when they want to watch it, not do it a weekly thing like normal TV, because you might as well just watch it on normal TV.
Oh, series catch-up on Sky now. We've got the Skybox is now plugged in on Ethernet, and I've got catch-up, and me and Sharon sit down and we catch up.
Oh, that's awesome.
They've got box sets as well, which is brilliant. So
we watched the whole of the newsroom do it on their Sky catch-up.
There you go.
Awesome.
The catch-up and the box office service is just unbelievable. And we've gone through the whole of the first series of Blacklist. And now, because we'd set record on the second series, we're going through the second series. But even then, they've got this fantastic catch-up service. But they only leave up 1 month's worth of second series. Ugh. So we start.
Yeah, that's lame.
And we've recorded two to five, and it's up to nine, I think, at the moment. So I don't make an apology for this. Because of that restrictive license, I had to go online and I had to find season two, episode one, so we could sit and watch it, so we could watch the legal content. And it just really annoyed me. It was just like, you're doing something so fantastic and then you fall over at the last hurdle. And it's probably the content producers' licenses that are causing the issue.
But it's mad because people just do what you say and watch it either in crappy streams or download better versions, when actually, if your real license payers just made it available as people want it, they could charge more for it and people could watch it on proper platform.
Yeah.
You're pushing it towards piracy. I think you and a few months ago made
exactly
a... I think, if you will correct me, I think, did you queue up for the DVD of Wanted or... Taken.
Yeah, it was about 3 years ago. And
yeah, okay. I remember these things. I'm clever. But you queued up, you didn't get it, and like, what are you going to do? Are you going to go and wait for it, or are you going to go and find it somewhere else?
I did get it.
and people are, you know, and I'm not saying that I have found things from illicit locations, but if you want to watch it and won't give it to you, because I'm willing to pay money for these things. But if I want to watch it now, I will find other ways to procure these things.
I mean, people will say to me, well, okay, you could watch The Blacklist on Apple and you could pay £30 for a season. But if I've recorded it on Sky, on my TiVo-y type stuff, am I really going to pay $30 for...
Having already paid for your Sky Plus subscription.
Exactly. And then I'm only missing one episode, and that's where it just falls right down flat on its face. So... And if they want to come and prosecute me for taking one episode so I can catch up on the rest of it, well, that seems a bit harsh. It's not in the public interest, I would have said. And it's not something I do on a regular basis. I never download films. I always buy films from the Apple Store. Love the Apple Store for that. But I've got some crap as well. God, I've got some crap.
What's the worst?
I was trying to think a bit. I was going to put... Oh, Monuments Men.
Oh.
I bought that at $13.99 and because I thought it's going to be awesome. And I sat and I've tried to watch it four times now and I haven't stayed awake.
Wow.
And he must get his money's worth.
The one place I normally stay wide awake and watch stuff is on the train, and I've even fallen asleep on the train watching it. I'm rapidly coming to the conclusion it's a boring shit film.
He's ended up in Edinburgh so many times.
Well, I keep meaning to put a review on Shite or Not, but I can't because I haven't finished the frigging film. I only get up till Lord What's-His-Name dies, and then that's it. I'm not giving anything away because it's fairly early on.
No, I don't need to watch it either.
No, there's more to it, I'm sure, than that, but I wouldn't know because I haven't seen it.
But I think it's quite an important point you're making, because actually I spend whatever, £13-14 a month to have unlimited Spotify and Netflix, and I want to binge the crap out of that stuff.
Yeah.
I don't want to be having parts of series and parts of movies or, you know what I mean? I pay because that's the model. And actually, if people are not going to provide things in that way, and we're getting increasingly used to that model, people are going to pirate stuff.
Of course. Remember, the whole reason that the iTunes store became successful with music was because because once there was an abundance of it there was a certain point where it got easier to pay the dollar than it did to steal it. And as long as it's easier for me to buy it than to steal it, I'm going to buy it. And as soon as that changes, I'm not going to feel the least bit bad about stealing it.
I mean, I've got stuff now in the loft. I've got LPs, vinyl. Remember, no one remembers vinyl apart from, including Charlotte.
I still buy
it. I have some.
But I've got a load of albums upstairs, and I've ripped all my DVDs onto iTunes, but I haven't done the vinyl. And then the other day I went to play Dave Lee Roth and I thought, stuff it. And I just bought like five albums just instantly. Five. Because I can't be asked for a fiver. Just, okay, fine.
Yeah.
25 quid and I've got all the albums, and I haven't got to sit and rip the sodding things with the device up here that's above me on the shelf that I've never used. I've never plugged it in. I bought one of those turntable things.
Oh, God.
USB turntables. And I've never, it's never even been, I don't even know if it works. Because it's like one of those things, you look at it and you're like, you look at this big row of vinyl and you go, there's got to be something mm-hmm. else to do. Can't be bothered. Vinyl apartments. What is that, says Bronwyn?
Bless her.
I love vinyl. Vinyl sounds better than anything. You can shove your MP3. Vinyl sounds much better.
Okay.
Well, of course vinyl sounds better because you're actually getting a true analog signal. So you don't lose any of those steps in between each of the tones. And
vinyl is sexy.
Richer, much better audio quality.
And you use a whoosh, whoosh, whoosh. Oh, who's broken something?
You can't beat a bit of Young Guns 2 vinyl, can you?
Oh, dear God. In a blaze of glory.
Beat a bit of Lionel Richie vinyl.
Oh, no. Can't slow down. Don't tell me you got Dancing on the Ceiling.
Oh, you can't beat a bit of ZZ Top vinyl.
Give me all of that loving.
You can absolutely get ZZ Top on vinyl.
I'll be around at home. Everyone of a certain age has got some, haven't they?
Yeah. There you go.
And Charlotte's right, better on vinyl.
Oh, absolutely.
It wasn't until now. That's a great story, Kelly. Good one. Nice one. We got on the nice tangents there. We like tangents. We've had some reviews. Thank you to those people that have bothered their asses to leave some reviews. It makes a huge difference to us in iTunes, and we love them to bits. We've got three. I've got Commentcast, which is a program, and it gets me from all over the world. And just lately, it's been a bit weird the way it's been gathering them. And I've got three popped up that I haven't seen before that are coming since the 23rd of November. First one's from Scott Mack. He says, I'm a Patreon subscriber to BTN. Thank you, sir. That's very kind of you. After following the Mac Show, and I've just got into the Big Show, which is now essential weekly viewing to keep up with my new best chums. Superbly entertaining and subtly informative. Keep up the great work, guys and gals.
And the informative bit is very subtle.
It's very subtle, yes. Dude Man LA says, one of my favourite podcasts. Thank you. And he puts a big prayer sign up. That's very kind. And Sean and Andrea, The Big Show is a great podcast. It's like hanging out with your mates and talking to talk about the week in tech. Laid back and very relaxed. Cheers, Sean, and cheers, Andrew. That's very kind of you. If you'd like to give us a review, go to iTunes and stick it in. And if you'd like to donate on Patreon, it's patreon.com/British Tech Network. We've got a bit of expense coming up because one of the computers is starting to die. We bought a new computer for Paul so that he can finish his Skype wall off because one of the computers up there died. We're paying Kyle to do the daily news show every day. Because otherwise we wouldn't be able to get him to do it because we need to replace some of his voiceover income for it. So that's coming out of the Patreon fund as well. And if we get to $750 then per month, then we will guarantee to have the new show every single day. I stepped in today, but I can't step in tomorrow. So if Kyle's sick tomorrow, then I'm sorry, but there is no new show. Plain and simple.
Then we'll just have to make sure there's no news.
That's not as simple as that. That's not been far away from the truth this week. I've got to say, I struggled.
It's
morning.
Friday and it's Christmas.
Yeah,
this
exactly.
Always happening.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you very much to those people that do donate. It makes a huge difference. And thanks to Rob Lyons as well, because he's in the chat room and he doubled his donation this week. It's very kind.
I thought it was awesome that you guys did a new show targeted just to me.
Really? It's just to you, is it?
The one episode Santa was on, that one.
Oh, yeah, Santa's on every day during December. It was Santa's advent calendar, you see.
Right, yes. but the day that he was on and he had a present just for me, that was awesome. I felt really special.
He's on every day, but he thought
yes,
of you
but
with
the day
sex
that
toys.
He was on just
but
for
only
me.
One day.
That's the only one that counts.
I've got to say, £50, make your own sex toys is a bit of an expensive book, but looking at the hollowed out melon, I've got to say, I fancy buying it. There's only a few copies left. Do you see there's one that they're all used, right? Which puts you off instantly. Make your own sex toys. It's all used.
So glove up if you're going to buy one.
Exactly. But you can get one new one and it's £500.
Wow.
It's going to be a first edition signed by the author and wrapped in cellophane.
After today, I can't stop thinking about spam.
Yeah.
And he was rather rude to you today, wasn't he?
Oh, mate, me and him go way back.
Yeah.
I'll talk to you afterwards, actually, but I'm convinced I'm starting to suffer from schizophrenia. Charlotte, what do you have for us as a story, darling?
Well, Google News is pulling out of Spain. It's no longer going to be in Spain.
Oh, no, this is over the search results thingy, isn't it?
Yeah, basically, the Spanish sort of media trade union basically told Google that they had to pay to have Spanish news stories in there. So Google said, stuff it, leaving Spain.
Yeah, because the world over is clamoring for Spanish press.
Well, it's the Spanish language press, which is obviously quite a big area, but it's the AEDE lobby, and they push this new law in Spain. So Spain said, fine, you have your law, but there'll be no Google News in Spain.
I cannot go a day without Hola Daily. And the lead column by Dora the Explorer is riveting.
You and I'm bringing you a serious story from the world of internet media. Behave yourself.
Well, that doesn't change it for anyone else.
No, but actually, and that's exactly the point, because Google have said, actually, do you know what? Stuff this. We are the ones bringing traffic to you. We've got plenty of content from elsewhere in the world. If you want to put this law in, we'll just shut down the service in Spain. And you can see how all your newspapers suffer but with the loss of traffic.
Yeah, no, I think I think Google have done the right thing there, because, you know, you want an aggregation process that tells you what's available on the net. And actually, if you do go to Hola Daily and you think, well, God, actually, it's a pretty good read now I've brushed up on my Spanish, then you'd subscribe if it had a subscription model. So, you know, a bit of free content at the front and then subscription thereafter for the rest of the content. You might, it's a good sale process. Batwinch, no, I did not say Spanish breast.
Well, you did now.
I did now, yeah, okay, I did now. But then I didn't. Is that a medical condition? I've got to touch a Spanish breast. No, I don't want to touch Spanish breast. That's not what I'm saying. Moving on.
What are wrong with Spanish breasts?
I think this story kind of sets out a wider pattern we're seeing around net neutrality and things like that, where people try to dictate what you see when you start looking for stuff. And that's going to be it's clearly a big issue over the internet, people that produce content and produce news media. And this kind of little scrap, which I'm sure is going to be resolved, I'm sure the Spanish are going to realise it's a really stupid thing they've done.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, let's hope.
December 16th, it all disappears. So that's 5 days away. It all goes.
Well, that's all going in 5 days. But there are other things, and the way search engines operate and the way, you know, we've got silly filters here and things like that. Well, you're starting to be altered the kind of internet you're getting just by keywords, and actually that's starting to become a problem.
But that's always been, that's what cookies has always done that, though. It's always shaped what you've seen based on where you've been.
Yes, but it's becoming more and more conscious from government, big companies, particularly government, and that's where the issues come.
Yeah, I mean, I don't wish to malign any internet service providers here, but there is an internet service provider that I'm familiar with, shall I say, and I get absolutely, you know, just for 1 minute, it looks like, oh, God, I've got really dogger of speed here. And it doesn't matter which website I go to our servers or Google or anything like that, and it just takes forever to load. And then as soon as you start up speedtest.net, bang, it flies.
Mm-hmm.
And you're kind of like, And yep. I know, is it Comcast got done for that? Or AT&T?
Comcast does that too, yeah.
Well, I know, let's not say that they definitely do unless we absolutely know, but there was either Comcast or AT&T or someone like that got done for it in the States, the FCC.
Well, I know that Comcast is.
Be careful what you say. We don't have the same freedom of speech, darling.
I know that they are, that it has been proven that Comcast likes to do something that's called burst. So when you go to something like speed test, it's a short bunch of data. It's not a long sustained, like downloading, when you go to download Yosemite because you're upgrading or whatever. And generally what will happen is when you're downloading a file, it will come down very quickly at first, and then eventually the speed will drop off a cliff. And then that way, when you go to something like speed test where you're not transferring data for very long, it's very fast. But the rest of the time when you're trying to do other sorts of traffic, if you have sustained web traffic, for example, then you end up with something a little slower. So that's something that a number of people have seen on a number of different places that's easy to track.
Actually, Comcast touts that as a feature.
Well, I was going to say that sounds very sensible, because if you're watching a movie, you want the first 30 minutes down as quick as possible, but then it's going to take you 30 minutes to get to the next bit that you need. So you can go to a slower speed and still have the movie by the end. You want a just-in-time buffering speed, don't you? So that makes us. That is a thing that
they have been caught for, because people will complain about their speeds, and then they go to speed test or something, and speed test is working fine, but the rest of the time their surfing's kind of slow, and people have had a hard time proving that the speed that they're paying for is not the speed that they're receiving.
Yeah, no, there's no tangible in that. I mean, I'm just going on the fact that I've, it's anecdotal. But someone told me that AT&T were done for it or something like that.
Probably. I think another piece of what makes Charlotte's story interesting, though, is awareness, because people are starting to understand that Google isn't just showing you the results. Google is tailoring those results to you because you're signed in. So it's going to show me something that Jeff wrote about a particular subject higher up than it would a random link to a story at Yahoo News, for example, because I have Jeff in a Google Plus circle or whatever.
Yeah.
So I think as more people get aware of this, people are becoming aware of it at the same time that companies are really trying harder to game that system. And I think that's where all of this is going to come to loggerheads.
Chat room's chipping in here. Bookery says, and of course, if you're looking at download speeds, there's no need to download the last 30 minutes of Monuments Men, because the viewer will be asleep.
Man,
thanks, buddy. The idea of feature shaping, like Jeff just said, where that's clearly sensible because it reduces the bandwidth load for other people to then get more in their stream. You've sapped a bit and then it goes back to a sensible speed. I don't have a problem with that, but I do have a problem with what Charlotte's talking about, where there's the manipulation of the packet or the data or the access or the information with a view to leveraging the customer to gain more income, to gain more views, to gain more speed, to buy a higher package for data load, etc. I think that's pretty poor, definitely.
And of course, Google got in trouble for it in a different, they're the ones standing up to this now. But obviously, Google previously got away in trouble for it because their own services were being bumped right up Google, the search engines.
Yeah. And of course, people are stealing Google search results. Yeah,
a whole different debate. I kind of think if Google are providing the service, they have a right to bump them up. But there's a discussion to be had there.
Well, there is no paid return in search. There's advertising on the right, but the search is based on the Google shiz, isn't it? With PageRank. Which, no one really understands, but I don't think that's...
Google shiz hard than other shiz.
Well, I don't know that I don't think you can pay for a search return. I don't believe that that's the case with Google.
But if you put a map, you get Google Maps before Windows Maps or whatever.
Oh, well, that's different because they're promoting their own thing.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, no, that's fine.
They got into trouble for it.
Yeah, no. It'd be interesting to see what happens with the Spanish, whether they climb down after Christmas. What's your gut feeling, Charlotte, on the blast radio? This, how long is it going to take before it cavitates back in on itself and they change their mind?
There's a few, but I'd be amazed if this lasts, given one, how widely Spanish is spoken. Mm. So how, there'd be a lot of people not in Spain that are interested in Spanish news stories, which could affect it.
Yeah.
There's an awful lot of news happening in Spain that people are going to want to use. It's not a small service or a small country. I'd be amazed if that, there's huge, quite big established media, Alpays, all that kind of stuff in Spain. I'd be amazed if they didn't suddenly see a couple of, they see a week or 2 weeks of their traffic numbers dropping off a cliff, and they go, actually, this law is not a good thing for us anymore.
We've had that. I mean, we've had search strings to put into the shows, and as soon as they got into Wirecast, we just tumbled out of iTunes, like, take them off. So, yeah.
Exactly. I'd just be amazed if There's not a very swift about term from the Spanish media on this.
It won't stick around. Now then, did you enter the competition for to win the Sphero? It be here. Here we go. Here's the Sphero. And I'm trying to find the name of the bloke who won it. Because I had this all prepared up and then I closed the window like an idiot.
Which one got drops?
I dropped the Sphero. It was this one. I just got to go back. Oh, I wish I wasn't an idiot. I signed up to LO today because I got an invitation off Scott Small, just filling the time. And the one thing I got to say is the user interface was made by some retarded gibbon. It is the most awful UI I've ever seen on a website. And I was speaking to a couple of people online and they said, yeah, wait till you try it on your iPhone. It's even worse. You're not going to get to hear me sing the giveaway theme. Go away. Not going to happen.
No.
Oh, come on, Craig. Where's your sodding email? Just talk amongst yourselves for a second. I'll fill the air. Here we go. Here's Craig. Right. The winner was Daniel Mercado. Daniel Mercado. He's got an AOL address. So, Daniel, if you want to win this, mate, you've got to send me an email to britishtechnetwork@gmail.com and tell me which one you want. Do you want the Sphero or do you want the Ollie? Your choice, mate. One or the other. Daniel Mercado. Send me your email, mate, and we'll get you sorted out with the Sphero. Hopefully, you're not in Australia and you'll get it in time for Christmas. Otherwise, it might be in the new year. But Daniel, for God's sake, call in, whatever you do. Right, Jeffrey, what did you bring for us?
All right, so... okay, brace yourself. Here's the deal.
Bracing!
So this kind of does cross over into the Apple world, but that's not why I'm bringing up this story today.
That's all right, I had a vague thought you were going to cross over into Satanism or something like that then. So go ahead.
Oh, no, that's for next week.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
This
week
he's just crossing over into honky tonk.
That's right. Okay, so I came across these apps on the App Store that are social networking apps for cuddling. And I'm bringing this up because I'm really curious what you guys think first of the whole idea of organized cuddling events and then taking this to a point where we actually have social networking apps where you can find people, strangers, to cuddle with.
Okay.
These are serious apps that are really out there. And one of them, so they work sort of like, as far as an interface goes, sort of like Airbnb, where you can see a list of places, or in this case, people, and descriptions, and then you can choose the ones that seem most interesting to you, and then they can choose whether or not they want to connect with you. And then there's another app that will find people that are within a reasonable proximity of you. And then you can choose from those people if you want to get together and snuggle.
Okay.
I'm still
with you.
So I'm looking at this as kind of an extension of the growing trend where we're seeing more cuddle parties happen where people are actually organizing events that are supposed to be non-sexual cuddling. Okay. Groups of people get together, and then there's shops that you can go to, and then there are professionals, like people you can pay to just hold you
snuggle
for like an hour, snuggle for an hour.
Mm-hmm.
So have you registered fresh boobed tails then with UK2 for when you go to these shops?
Oh my God.
No, see, that's the thing, is it's not like that. That's a whole other service.
This isn't supposed to be a sexual thing at all, actually. Although, for a lot of people, I think there's a lot of people that don't get the distinction.
No, I get that. Yeah. There's many a time I would gladly have paid for a hug in my life.
No, mm-hmm. I, I'm I'm sure when I was young and I'd come downstairs and there was a group of people at my parents' house and there was a bowl of keys, they'd call them cuddle parties.
Yeah, but they were all tractor keys.
That was
mate.
A totally yeah. different party.
Oh, you went there.
Do we need to, does someone need to sit Paul down and have the talk with him?
It's that time.
I'll draw him some pictures.
Okay.
No, I'm trying to be serious now. I had a bit of an exchange with Richard Harkness on Twitter this week, which there was someone had written out a huge spreadsheet about value of various things for their mental well-being of their child. And they put small benefit, smiling. And I just thought to myself, I've got to say, I spend a lot of my life with a smile on my face. I spend a lot of life taking the piss out of myself and just laughing in general and finding the fun in things. Because if you don't, you go mad. And I also think that smiling and laughing is probably one of the best things you can do if you're down.
Sure.
It really, mm-hmm. really, yeah. really bucks you up just finding something witty. And that's where I love like some of the GIF stuff. And Keith Chegwin's jokes and stuff like that. Some of them are real, real groaners and some are belly laughs and some is a bit smirky. And the Benedict Cumberbatch proposal thing that went I pushed out tonight on Facebook, that was hilarious. And that kind of stuff just really bucks you up. So I get the idea of the fact that sometimes if you're on your own, particularly, you want to go mm-hmm. somewhere and you just want a hug.
Sure. Well, and physical contact, it's an important part of human interaction.
Of life.
And yeah. of life. Yeah. So when that is taken out of the mix, I think that's very unhealthy for people. So finding healthy ways to have that physical contact is a good thing. And if that's a cuddle party where you know people and you get together and you follow the structured guidelines and great, then do that. If you need to go to a cuddle service, whether it's a shop and Kelly, I found one that it's like a few blocks from my place. Kelly had told me about one in Portland and I did a little bit
because
of research.
Of course, that's a thing that we one, have here.
Yeah. Yeah. And so of course, if it's a big thing in Portland, it's going to be a big thing in Boulder. And I found yep. a cuddle shop that's actually just a few blocks from where I live. And, so, all right, so the
you
thing
have
with
an
the cuddle
incoming call from Charlotte Alexander Henry.
Welcome back.
Hi, Charlotte.
So the thing about the cuddle apps that I'm wondering about, how well will these apps be able to vet people to make sure that you don't have like some real creep that creates an account just so that they can try and grope people? So I guess where I'm going with this.
Well, you run that risk, don't
you? Will people see this as a safe way to find a cuddle partner, or will they see this as a threat to their personal safety?
Ooh.
I think there's going to be surely there's some screening, though. And surely you get your first hug in a public place.
Well, there's nothing in the app that requires you to meet in a public place, but I think would be a good idea when you're meeting someone for the first time. As far as a way to vet people before they get into the service, no. But you can rate people like with Airbnb, where both parties that are involved get to rate the other. These apps let you do the same thing. So there is kind of an accountability there. I'm just curious if that's going to be enough for people to feel comfortable to use these apps. And they're both the two that I found, one is called Cuddle Bids. And that one you can just find people to cuddle with, or you can be a professional cuddler and sell your cuddle services to other people. And then the other one is called Cuddler. And that one is the one that lets you find people based on proximity to where you are.
So that's, if you're a professional, that's cuddler-tution.
or something like that.
Can I just say, I give really good hugs. I make a shed load on that.
Well, there you go. That could be big business for you, Charlotte.
Charlotte, you're like a hobbit, though, mate. You'd only be able to hug up to people's waists. There's no chest to chests with you, girl, is there?
I don't really know how to respond to that.
Oh, okay.
So you get a phone book or something.
Well, if you and I have a hug, your head's about, well, it's below the VIP logo on my shirt.
That's an entirely different service.
No, we hug when we meet. friends. We give,
always hug you.
We give good greeting.
Yeah.
If she wants
I
a hug,
often give you a hug when I see you.
The problem we've got with Charlotte is if she wants a hug on the same level as me, she's got to be up so many steps that she's too far away. So, because she's only got short arms. Oh, I'm talking too much apparently.
Oh,
is that what
that symbol means?
Let's ask the short person. Yeah, that's funny.
Oh, Charlotte, you could laugh at me. I'm fat.
Best things come in small packages, and I give extra.
You see, there's no end of lines that you could give to me about hugs, but my belly would keep people away too much. There's tons of jokes there, but you've just not gone there. Because you're obviously too polite.
Because I'm a nice human being.
Then. I'm a nice human being too, because you know I love you.
Ewan gives good hugs. I've had a few. They're nice. There you go.
I've had a Ewan hug.
I haven't.
And it was very nice.
But we're just putting the chair. Does it look dodgy when she gives you a hug? No! That's not what I was saying. Oh. Someone has to. Bronwyn's gone on to a hot shower as well with a hug, and I know there was no hot showers mentioned. Jeff specifically said this is not a sexy thing.
But see, that, to me, that's the thing about it. Go ahead, Charlotte.
No, Jeff could not have made the lack of sexy thing more clearer.
I agree. He was very. Absolutely. He gave a clear no sexy warning.
Yeah,
I think
it's sort of sad that somebody would have to pay to get hugging from somebody or snuggles. I think, and to me, the thing that's sad about it is that a lot of people who are paying for this, I'm doing a whole lot of presuming here, so this may absolutely not be the case, but I'm sort of under the impression that the reason these services exist is because people are willing to pay for them because they don't have the time, the skill, the energy to put into a relationship where you would have someone to snuggle.
No, I totally get this, because I mean, I had a flat on my own. I was a single guy, and there was just sometimes when you're sitting watching the TV with a bowl full of heated noodles from Bachelors that you sit and think,
yeah,
I wish I wasn't eating on my own. I wish I wasn't drinking on my own. I wish I wasn't sitting on my own on a sofa when it's cold and I had someone getting me warm to this side. I totally get it. It's fine.
Yeah. Well, I understand it, but I think that in order for it to be a business model, there has to be a whole lot of people who are in that same situation. And I think a lot of times what happens is somebody who is in that, at least in my day, as she said, with pigtails and freckles and curly hair, what would happen is when you felt like that enough, like you would go out, you would leave the house and you would stop eating ramen at home alone, watching Letterman and drinking a beer. And you would go out somewhere and you'd hang out in a bar or you'd hang out with some friends. And then one of your friends brought a friend you didn't know. And you're like, how you doing? And then now you have a snuggler. And a lot of people, for whatever reason, they work too much. They spend, you know, all of their free time at home doing whatever they're doing that is not socializing in the real world with other people, and end up in a place where,
on the internet.
Yeah, like all the time. And so then they end up in a place where that's something that you're missing out on, but then they don't have whatever the skill is to cope with that feeling, and then being able to remedy it by going out and building a relationship with somebody that maybe is a sexual relationship that then also has the component of cuddling. And so when Jeff and I were talking about this yesterday, when he was talking about writing up these apps, I said, that's what I said, is that I think it's sort of sad that there's a market for them, because it means there's a whole lot of people out there who, for whatever reason, don't have a snuggler. And that's very sad to me.
Yes.
I think the whole thing is kind of sad. But there's not one part of that story that doesn't profoundly depress
me. No, I don't think it's depressing. I was never depressed that I lived on my own and I was eating my noodles by myself.
Right.
It was just sitting there going, do you know what? It'd be really nice to have a conversation with someone, share something with someone, come home to somebody. Instead of, I had a log called Simon the Log, because I wasn't allowed to keep pets in the flat that I had. So I had a pet
log. Oh, my
log
God.
I had a pet log in a terrarium with goggle eyes.
Oh, my God.
That's the saddest thing I've heard in the last 5 minutes.
I may cry. Simon that's the like log the saddest thing I've heard.
I lost him when I moved.
You had to have a pet log.
I cried for days, you bastards. Right. do you want to know how many sweets there are in here? Because we're going to tell you at Christmas time. Santa will reveal it on next week's
because
story.
Because sugar is love.
Sugar. So there you go. We started this last week. There's only a couple of less sweets because I've taken some out from myself. Yeah. So what you see is what you get here. If you notice, I've put a zip tie on the top to make sure I can't eat any more. But if you go to the picture that's on BritishTechNetwork.com and click on that picture, it'll open a web form that you can fill out with how many sweets you think there are in the bag. If you get as close as you possibly can, the 10 closest answers from the Patreon subscriber list will get some of these sweets. And these are limited edition sweets. There's not many of them. Yeah, there's an exact number.
And apparently there's fewer all the time because...
No, not anymore. Not anymore.
Because sugar is love.
I have stopped. That is a set amount of sweets in that bag. It will not change between now and when the person wins. Okay, people wins. Okay. Top 10, closest 10 will get some of those limited edition sweets from UK2. And while we're on the subject, check out UK2 because they are the best thing since sliced bread. We've had no end of them in the last week talking about the sweets.
Are they as good as free hugs?
They're at least better, but they're not free websites, unfortunately. But anything you want for the internet, domain names, co-location services, web hosting, VPS, VPN, dedicated servers, they are the people, and they've got the best tech support on the net. Absolutely the best tech support on the net.
Could I just say something about
nowhere else and get that kind of support? Charlotte, dive in.
Okay, because I bloody love UK2.
Yes, we do too.
Like, a lot. Because a few months ago, my website completely died, and I was like a crying wreck. And within 24 hours, UK2 had a beautiful server up and running when nothing that had gone wrong had been their fault because it was on I was stupid and hadn't listened to you and hadn't had my site originally on UK2.
Yeah.
Which obviously I should have done.
So you're saying that they didn't fix it. They transferred it from your shite provider to UK2 within 24
Correct.
Hours.
Correct.
There you go.
So I went from shite to UK2 and then it was distinctly not shite because I had all sorts of functionality. Their control panel is awesome.
It is.
Also, like in recent weeks and months, there's been massive traffic spikes and it hasn't fallen over once because UK2 are awesome. The whole thing just keeps going without even a glitch.
Absolutely, they are. Superb, superb, superb. Batwinch is perturbed because apparently on their new advertising, they're not using our Santa, the Santa. They're using a fake Santa. Oh. But as Santa did tweet out today, the reason that they're doing that is probably decent decorum. and he did say pale imitations are obviously a safer bet than asking me to do it. There's a man who knows his limits. Righty, what did you bring, boy?
Well, why doesn't somebody think about the children?
Oh, go on then.
It's another Google story. Oh, apparently on. Google are about to adapt all of their services for the 12s and unders. So they're looking at search, Gmail, YouTube and all that sort of stuff to kind of, it was like parental control filter for kids under 12. Now, the reason, obviously Google have been around for a while, but the reason they've thought about doing this, they're getting a bit broody because Google's marketing, as you're saying, is we thought about this because we're all having babies now.
Oh, right.
And that's actually in their marketing. We're all having babies now. And obviously, you know, that's a good thing. Obviously, as parents, we worry about internet security and all that sort of thing. And you know, it's always bigger than news and all that sort of stuff. But obviously, what Google has said, we want to give the right tools for parents to oversee what the kids do. And obviously, in the UK, we have a lot of parental controls that are imposed upon us by our ISPs, aren't we? My 11-year-old can circumvent them in 10 minutes with a VPN. She already knows that. So kids are always looking at things they shouldn't be looking at. But obviously, for kids under 12, they shouldn't be looking at that sort of stuff. Now, Google already have a product in schools, which is the Google App for Education, which is Gmail accounts and certain products, but there's no ads. I don't know if they haven't known how they're going to do it, if it's going to be whitelisting of sites, if it's going to be a separate part of the internet. But a cynical part of me says, is it because they're broody and they're now thinking, we've got kids now, we want to protect them, or are they signing kids up for Google accounts now, and they are just hoodwinking the consumers of the future? Is it a good thing or a bad thing? Because I just think it's like, we're going to get you a Gmail account now, we're going to get you a Google Plus account now, and when you're older than 12 years old, here come the ads, here comes the scanning of the email, and we've got you.
Yeah, but they're not.
I mean, there definitely is an element of that. But is it so? Yeah. Is it worth that happening if they're providing a safe internet experience for under 12-year-olds?
What? Yeah, it just seems like there's a dark underbelly of the whole situation. Of
Don't be evil. This is Google.
Yeah, and I think one of the analogies was one of the senior VPs turned around and said, my daughter looks for pictures of Thomas the Tank Engine, and all she gets is Amtrak timetable. I thought, well, that's not true, because obviously there's a lot of things. But we've had a lot of parental controls per se in this country. I think it's opt-out or opt-in or whatever. But parents don't use them. Do you think I think it's a good thing. Obviously, having a child who's under 12, I think it is a good thing. But would people embrace it? Because I think a lot of people opt out of these things, because obviously it blocks a lot of things at home. Because the parental controls over here, they block things like pub websites, gambling websites, all that sort of stuff. They never really got on top of how this whitelisting kind of works. But this part of me just always think, this is Google doing something good, or are they doing something good just because they want to hook you into their services in later life?
The only thing I would say is, I mean, both my kids have got Gmail accounts, and they've both got Twitter accounts, and they're both on Facebook, even though I know they're not supposed to be. Mm. But the way I see it is, I'm educating them through that process on good online safety, because they can't get... Ellis is now up to the age where he gets onto Facebook without me, but I've got his password, and he knows damn well, because I've got access to the email that controls his password. If he changes the password, I will just change it back to me so I can go in, and I look at every message he sends. And he knows I look at every message he sends. It's not like me spying on him. I said, look, you know, I am going to check on every message you send until I feel you're old enough to deal with it. And I haven't found a single thing that he's done wrong. He's very responsible.
No, you're absolutely right. I did the same thing with my daughter. She got an iPhone and an iPad at an early age, and it was kind of like, you're not taking the phone out of the house for a 6-month period until we can trust you. You can't have an email address until we trust. And one thing we found that she, obviously part of getting a Gmail account, she got a Google Plus account. And almost without her knowledge, she was kind of set on this. It's like, your daughter wants to be friends with you. She was filling it. And I was like, oh, actually, I need to stomp on that. So if they can do it where they can restrict, because we don't want Google scanning our kids' email. And they are using email at a very early age now. And I think something like that, I'm kind of wondering how they're going to do it, because you and I are tech savvy and we know what to look out for. But there are a lot of parents out there whose kids probably look at maybe terrible things online and they're not aware of what their kids are doing.
Yeah, but part of allowance, allowing him to do that is me saying, right, don't click on the ads. If you do click on the ads and they take you somewhere, close it down. Yeah, because he's not in the Wild West here where he's getting some advertising for some free hugging site. He's out there looking at, we're losing people left, right and centre here. Charlotte and Kelly have gone. And he's looking at stuff that's they want to sell him a pair of trainers. They want to sell him some rubbish. They want him to go and see a news article that's a piece of crap on the Daily Mail. You know, it's nothing particularly innocuous. So he can go off and he can do those things, but he knows that he's shutting those down. So you're saying about, well, when you turn 13, we can start pummeling you with the ads. He's already getting ads on his Facebook profile. And
he's got a dad who is knowledgeable enough to...
Oh, I think a lot of people... I would suggest that a lot of parents have a Facebook account and therefore they don't mind their kids having a Facebook account because they're of an age where it's a
normal thing. I'd say you two probably... much more responsible than a lot of normal parents.
Well, I think some parents don't care, but they don't care in any environment, whether it's like cyber world or real world. But there's some people that are at school with Ellis, and they walk home and they've got keys to get themselves in the house, and they're there for 4 hours on their own, and they're 11 years old, and I'm just like, not a chance in the world, never.
Yeah, same here.
And we
think very much the same way, but. Obviously, I've done you've done the same thing I've done. It was almost kind of like they earn the trust, don't they? But is it Google's job to take that responsibility away? Because, it's a under 12s Google and you just go on there. The kids are clever enough to circumvent that anyway, aren't they?
Ellis impresses me at the moment because he's doing stuff this is going to sound really simple, but it really impressed me because I've given him no lead for this whatsoever. I came up to his room the other day and he was listening to some music and I said, oh, what are you listening to that from? And he said, I've got it in iTunes. You haven't bought that, have you? No. I ripped all my CD collection into iTunes. And I haven't told him how to do that. He's just figured it out for himself that he can do
it. That's awesome.
Exactly. And he's 11 years old, and he's figured out how to rip everything into iTunes.
Yeah.
It's a simple task. Don't get me wrong. I'm not overplaying it. But it was the fact that I haven't told him, and he's figured it out for himself. That's what, you know, and he does loads of stuff like that. That's really kind of cool. So,
but that's the question, because the kids have grown up with that technology over the years, and they're unfazed, and they're not scared of it.
Mm.
And they will go online and go on YouTube and look at tutorials, or it is just instinctive to them. So, by Google trying to protect them, does that add a value-added service?
No, but I've seen, you know, kids age 3 or something taking their parents' phone and playing games on it, just completely comfortable with that. It doesn't surprise me at all anymore.
Oh, Bryony plays Minecraft with Ellis. The pair of them sit and go onto a joint server, and they sit and run around, create their own worlds, create their own houses. And I'd have gone back a year, Bryony just basically stood there and built herself into a brick house, and Ellis had to come and smash it to get her out. But now she's really building complicated stuff, and she's doing, he's taught her how to do crafting and stuff like that.
Yeah, but I've seen a thing with Minecraft, with a lot of the mods that you download. Obviously, I'm learning through my daughter about mods and stuff, but through a lot of the download for the mods, it's a lot of crapware that comes down onto the computer, and a lot of kids just go, yes, next, and the computer's full of viruses within 10 minutes. Mm. So there is a lot of need to protect them from that, because I think some people are taking advantage of that.
Yeah.
Do you know what the interesting thing you just said there was, Paul? You said, my daughter's teaching me.
Yes. Oh, no, she is with Minecraft. Oh, yeah, I'm fully up on Minecraft now, but I learned it all through her. I don't think I'd have had inclination to go to a website or read a book and everything. And I sit there now on my iPad and I'm playing Minecraft. We play it together, because obviously if you're on the same Wi-Fi network, you can play it together. We build things together. But she's taught me everything I know. And that's scary, because she's 11 years old.
Well, you know, Muller's trying to chip in and just level the playing field between him and Ellis. Muller's older than me. And he says, I could balance 10 45 singles on the centre post of my record deck when I was 10. Kudos, dude. I'm not sure I could ever do that. Then I had Dynatron. Me dad had. Sorry, Paul, you were saying.
No. It's just interesting to say, because it's been weird, because I've spent all day talking to people today like this, because I did staff appraisals all day today. So I was across the table from people. Just come back from parents' evening. I was talking to the ICT teacher. And the things that they are teaching now, because like, he's like, oh, we're doing basic now. And I was like, wow, I've never taught that at school. And then I turn around my daughter, and she's 11, and she's, you know, good at staying with it. Don't tell you. Like, you're learning basic. And she's like, oh, yeah. Yeah, loving it. I can draw triangles and write. And I'm like, really? Can you show me? And she showed me before the show tonight, and it's like, oh, my God. And, you know, that because of...
It's basic, a valuable language, though.
But they have no fear of technology. I have older relatives and friends who are set with iPads and laptops. They're absolutely scared stiff of breaking it or doing something like that. But the kids, they grab the technology and go, I don't care if I break it. I'm just going to do what the hell I like. And I think that fear, that lack of fear could be a good thing or a bad thing. So do they need protecting from what is out there? Because the internet is not a nice place if you really get into the depths of it. You know, it is our responsibility as parents to do something about it. But like we say, a lot of parents don't do anything about it. Do they need more help?
I mean, my question is there. In terms of safety and security, there's nothing worse outside the door than there is online. Mm-hmm. They're all things of the world, and you protect your kids from all things of the world, no matter who you are or what you are. But, I mean, my question there, just going so much, she's being taught basic. Is basic a valid language anymore to learn?
The reason that I spoke to him about it is quite ironic, because I did like 10 minutes of the conversation with the ICT teacher before I announced what I did for a living. So in the first 10 minutes, he told me what an algorithm was. And I was like, oh, yeah, really? And at the point that he said, oh, what do you do for a living? I said, oh, I'm an IT manager. And he's like, oh, okay. And I said, so why are you doing this? And he said, what we're trying to do is put an input in to get an output. And that's what we're using basic at the moment, because it is kind of the simplest form. And, you know, And if I'd have known that's what to teach, I'd probably teach her HTML, which I'm kind of fluent in, which
HTML is an input to get an output.
And that's why they're using that now. And obviously Raspberry Pis and things like that have been great. But kids need to realize that you can put, there is an input into a computer. It's not the press of a button on a touch screen and something happens. There's something happening in the background. And they are learning that now. And surprisingly, he said to me, he said, did she learn that in primary school? I said, no, she didn't. And she's only learned at high school now. But she's picked up on it so fast. I think their brains are geared for all that sort of stuff. So, you know, circumventing passwords or parental controls, it's probably child's play.
Yeah.
Well, a bit worrying.
I think, you know, the world is a safer place as the parent wants it to be.
Exactly. So do you think if things like Google came along and say we'll do it for you, that takes that away even more? Is it more dangerous?
No, I think Google helping is a good thing. I don't see a nefarious part in that at all.
Okay.
This network has had a wonderful, wonderful gift off Telestream.net. Telestream, you'll know them because they make Wirecast, which is video switching software, which I'm sure not a lot of you would really want anyway. But they gave us two subscription, you know, licenses for Wirecast 6 Pro, which was $1,000 a piece. So I'm running Wirecast 6 Pro here. Paul's running Wirecast 6 Pro up in the Northern Studio. Thank you so much to them for that gift. It's made a huge difference to us, and the new program does so much more than forwarded and has made a complete difference to us. If you'd like to say thank you to them, please send them a message on Twitter at Telestream, or send them an email just saying, I heard you were supporting the British Tech Network and just wanted to say thanks very much because the service they provide is great and they don't get paid for it. That would be wonderful. And I was going to say they make ScreenFlow, which is a great screen capture app. Really, really intuitive. Dumps out to ProRes. If you really want it, so you can go all the way up to the top end, and it'll even, so I've just bought myself a new monitor, which is
which is
21:9 ratio, and it'll even capture that entire screen, 1440 by 3440 pixels. So it's superb, absolutely beautiful. Thank you to Telestream. Please support them if you can, because they've been kind enough to support us with a very kind gift. Right. Cool things. Charlotte, would you like to start us off? You're on mute, girl. You're still on mute, girl.
Oh, sorry. I've pressed my mute button, haven't I?
No, that's right, mate.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you
now. I'm back in the room.
Okay, I can hear you. Don't worry.
One thing. Okay, so I suspect, in fact, I know, like me, you guys are all addicted and attached to your phone and run a load of stuff on your life through your phone. But my phone was always dying. So I found this brilliant thing for Android called Juice Defender, and they've got a pro version as well, which goes up to £5, which basically shuts off stuff to keep your, and basically keeps the juice in your phone, and you can customize it if you want to. And basically, it sounds really boring, but it basically keeps your phone alive, and I love it. And I've written my magazine column about it previously, and it's just a brilliant way to keep your phone alive. It's in the Google Play Store. I don't know if there's equivalents for iOS.
What's it called?
It's called Juice Defender.
Juice Defender.
And there's Juice Defender Ultimate, and if you log in, you're not going to be able to see.
JuiceDefender.com.
But basically, it allows you various settings depending on how much you want to save, and it switches off various settings depending on how much battery you want to save, and there's customizable and advanced options as well. And if you know you've got a long day where you need your phone and you're not going to have a point to plug it in, it's a really, really great app to have loaded up on your phone.
Excellent. Good pick. Free, of course.
Yeah.
The basic version is free, and then there's two different paid versions up to about a fiver.
Well, that's nothing. Excellent pick. Good one. I like that one. Jeffrey, what do you have for us, sir?
All right. My pick goes a little bit old school and won't cost you any money up front, but ultimately I have no doubt will. Do you know Edmund Scientific? I mean, I most everyone does, but yeah. But I'm asking just to be sure, you know, the big scientific equipment and cool tech device company. They've always had this huge mail order business, you can get their full catalog mailed to you, printed for free. And I didn't realize you could still get the Edmund Scientific catalog as a print thing until just a couple days ago. And when I did, it was like, oh my God, I have to order this right now. So mine's going to show up in a couple days. And then once I have it, I will have the catalog that has everything I could possibly need to build pretty much any thing that I wanted. So if I want to start building my own robot army to take over the world, I can do it from the Edmund Scientific catalog.
You've already started doing that anyway.
So just to be clear, you've come on a tech show and recommended dead trees.
And I'm totally recommending dead trees. That's exactly what I'm doing.
But it's what's in
and I'm going
the
to cat. Drop the link in the chat because people are like, I've never heard of them.
Edmund Scientific's online.
When I was in high school, I was buying stuff like Fresnel lenses from them and going outside with lenses that, you know, that are like this big and burning holes through concrete and you know, functional I was doing child. Science.
Functional child. Excellent, mate.
Yeah.
You're so rock and roll.
Mini drones. There we go.
See, and anything that you can possibly want, it's going to be in the Edmund Scientific catalog, and I can't wait to see the robots that people start building.
Okay, that's the mission for after Christmas. The person comes back with the coolest robot is the winner.
And they get candy from Ewan.
No, I'm not allowed.
No, they get to have the cool robot that they made.
I can't go within 50 meters of people with children with candy. Kelly, what did you bring for Skill?
I have two things. First of all, it's today's Google Doodle, which is Annie Jump Cannon. And she is a lovely British woman who went to Cambridge. And she was the, I'm trying to remember what it was she was. There was something she did that was notable at Cambridge. Doctorate from Oxford. That's what she got. She was the first woman to get a doctorate from Oxford, and she's called the Census Taker of the Stars. She did a lot of work in astronomy, and she did all kinds of great stuff with telescopes and advancing all of the stuff that you can see in space. She's pretty awesome, and you can check her out. That's where today's Google Doodle comes from. So there's two links for that I dropped in the chat room. And then I have a little baby bonus link that is... really funny, at least to me, if I can get the link to come up, it's this little, it's Flash, but it's just this little snow globe that is, that I think is very cute. Jeff laughed at it very heartily this morning.
Oh my God, I love this
thing.
I
recommended it. And so, here's the snow globe. And the reason that I like this snow globe is because it's this little Flash snow globe. And the people in it walk around. And then when you pick up the snow globe and shake it, all the people scream.
Oh, cool.
And it makes me really happy. And I don't know why that is, but there you go. So there you have it. Anyway, so enjoy the snow globe.
We love snow globes. We buy one for the kids every year. So they've got a big collection of snow globes that we bought every year. They've... grown up, but that's one that's worth having.
Yeah, I do. I enjoy that one.
Version for their tablet. Excellent. Yeah, good pick. Righty boy, what do you have for us?
Well, my cool thing just cost me £400.
Oh, which is
my new telly, because my old telly died, and I thought I'm going to get one ready for Christmas, because I don't want to, I need to see Doctor Who in HD on Christmas, and if I don't, my family will kill me. So I've just forked out on the Panasonic Viera. I've got to look at the box for the model number, which is the AS500 series. But it's a smart TV, but it's not too smart, because obviously some of these TVs try to be a little too smart, because I've got Chromecast, I've got Apple TV and all that sort of thing. It's got Netflix, it's got Amazon Prime Video, BBC iPlayer and all that sort of stuff built in. But the reason I bought it is because, one, Panasonic have an app for iPhone and iPad, which gives you like a trackpad that you can control your TV with. But a lot of the native apps on iOS work with it straight away. So the YouTube app, the Netflix app, they work with it straight away. So you don't even need your Apple TV to send stuff to it. It's got its own, I think it's DNLA or whatever, but the app, as soon as they saw the TV, I got this extra little thing. It's not an AirPlay logo. It's a little kind of, there's a Panasonic logo, but a little picture of TV. And my daughter's been playing with it for the last 2 or 3 days. And you can just send anything to it. And it is just like, obviously a gorgeous picture. I've not had a proper HD TV before. And I started flicking through standard def and high def. And some of the ladies on BBC Breakfast News look a bit rough in HD. But it's normally £700, but it's reduced for Christmas to £400. It's a really gorgeous looking TV.
Excellent. I'll just, Kelly just put the Amazon link in the chat room and it looked looks good value. Excellent. I've done something different this week. I'm inspired by talking to Paul Wheatley about snippets and that kind of stuff, but to text expander and that kind of thing. I've done a simple thing of opening up the document for the post on the BTN server, and when Kelly types the link in the chat room, I've been copying it and putting it in there, so it's all there. So there will be show notes this week. That would be Harry the cat.
Yeah.
Jumping on my sodding computer, little git. Good pick, sir. Good pick. My cool thing is, now, you know, I'm into me morning motion games, you know, things that you can sit down and you can play for a couple of minutes while nature takes its course. Well, Steve Naber put me onto this one. He did another one, which I haven't played yet because I've got addicted to this, and it's called Desert Golf for iOS. It's £1.49. And basically, do you remember the game where you were two archers and you had to shoot backwards and forwards against each other, called Archer? No? You don't remember that? So you just drag your screen back, you drag your finger back on the screen and you let go.
Oh, yes.
And it shot the arrow and you had to shoot each other three times. Well, the controls are exactly the same for this golf game, but basically you can do pitch and runs into the hole, and all you have to do is try and get the ball in the hole. I've shown a very simple one here on the video show that, you know, you could get a hole in one dead easy. But I'm at the moment, I've done 400 holes and it's taken me 1,000 shots. So, and you just keep going on and on and on and on and on, and it just adds up the number of holes. It's not just in like an 18 hole course or anything, but it is bloody addictive. I've gone up for the morning motion and I've not been able to stand up because my legs have gone numb. I've been on there that long. I went up this morning and I sat and played on there, and this bloody woman delivered a parcel. So I had to, the Hermes woman. So I got a minute.
Has anyone got iPhone knees? From the morning motion. Knees. This is where you rest your knees on there like that, and you get little red dots on your knees. It's just me.
A little bit, I suppose. I never looked.
Yeah. Have a look. You'll have iPhone knees.
I'm too busy hobbling to try and get myself up and get the blood back into my lower limbs. But there you
check
go.
For iPhone knees tomorrow.
Desert Golf, £1.49. It's superb and utterly, utterly addictive. Where can we get a hold of you, Charlotte?
I'm on charlotteahenry.com, and there's a whole new membership bit now, so that's exciting, which you can sign up for, and at Charlotte A. Henry on the Twitters. So yeah, come join me there, come say hi. I'm on dailymotion.com/Charlotte A. Henry for some videos as well.
Cool, good to have you back, missus. Welcome home.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, always. Jeffrey, where are you?
Well, you can find me over at macobserver.com and on a buttload of podcasts. So Apple Context Machine, TMO Daily Observations, the iOS show, you can find me here, lots of other shows. And I did a new post for Fresh Brewed Tales just a couple days ago. So
the funniest thing I've ever read.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, so if you haven't checked out freshbrewedtales.com in the past few days, there's a new story waiting for you.
It's incredible.
Excellent. Don't forget Fresh Boobed Tales, where you can see the hugging that takes place in Jeff's local shop.
Right. You know, I should just stand out on Pearl Street Mall with a sign that says free hugs and have someone film it and see what we get.
That's such a wrong name. The Pearl Street Mall. Paul's giving out free hugs. Well, you know. Where are you, Kelly G?
You can find me elsewhere on the British Tech Network, like tomorrow morning at stupid o'clock when we do the Mac show. You can also find me over at themacobserver.com, occasionally explaining things there. and sometimes on the TMO Daily Observations podcast.
Yeah, Christensen's taken over the mantle of being the late person on the Mac show now. You know you're late if Kelly's there before you.
Hey.
I'll give you some kudos. So it's 7 a.m. to be fair. Yeah. Showered and prissied up. You were wearing makeup at 7 a.m. the other week. That's well impressive.
Yeah,
I wouldn't do that.
Yeah. And Righty, where are you, mate?
I'm on Twitter at Paul Limbs and always, always forever at BritishTechNetwork.com.
We've got some reviews coming as well. I say iCarbon are going to send us some review units for
our yes, yes.
So we'll see that.
Can't wait.
Right, to get one of those and review it. My name's Ewan Rankin. You can get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. We'll be back again with the Mac Show tomorrow at 3:30. And then it's the weekend. Oh, next week, there's no shows. We're not going to do one because it's run up to Christmas. I did have work, but I think the work's moved anyway. But we're going to go for the Christmas shows on the 23rd. So set a note in your diary, the Christmas shows. I'm not here, but Santa will be here doing the Christmas quiz with everyone on the Mac Show at 3:30 and the Big Show at 8 p.m. If you didn't come to the Gamer Show Bash last week, holy crap, you missed something. It was awesome. Well done to Paul and Kirsty. You put on an absolute fab do as far as the venue went. The venue's incredible. And the other one is Chiz to mention, because Chiz laid out all the tech and we had 10 people playing Halo 4 all at once in the same game. It was awesome. Absolutely awesome. We had Dirt 2, I think, Colin McRae Dirt 2. And we had 5 people driving all at the same time and Rallycross. It was absolutely superb. Thank you, Chiz. Thank you, Paul, Kirsty. And Sam drank heavily. So thank you to Sam. It was great. We're going to do another one. We're definitely doing 2 a year of those because they were absolutely awesome. Really, really good fun. And don't forget, Summer Bash is July 4th next year. You can still buy tickets now already. Batwinch has already booked her hotel room over the road. It only costs £25. Get in there while you can. Hotels in the B36 region of Birmingham will get you good deals at the moment. Definitely happening. Definitely the 4th of July. Curry on the 3rd. We'll see you then. Have a good day. Have a good weekend. And thank you so much for listening.